you lot? Anybody know what that is?
Mountain.
Ah,
giraffe.
Which mountain?
Is it giraffe?
If I had prizes, you'd get one for saying giraffe. No, it's Kilimanjaro. Any idea what it's doing at the Cambridge marketing meetup?
Joe just climbed in.
Hey, see?
Joe, for people who didn't hear that, I think a lot of you know that.
Oh, it's a beautiful Labrador.
Sorry, I get distracted. I've just climbed this mountain, which is since the last Cambridge marketing meetup. So, yeah, bear with me. So, this is you and me, right? That's Joe. Up there. He's just climbed all the way up here. From that side of Kilimanjaro, that's an important fact. Believe me. So, bear with me. Here we are in the African savannah, watching Joe at the top of Kilimanjaro. He's just walked up the mountain, and he's been thinking about marketing the whole time, which is not great because he's actually with his wife, so she's had a word since. But. And he was thinking, intrepid marketing events. Surely that's complex. I'm going to come home and I'm going to do something about it. And you're beginning to think, what the hell has this got to do with SEO? Well, if Joe's going to start a new venture, he's got to think about these things. So in a world that seems to be constantly changing, GDPR, content saturation, anyone? The erosion of social search and what you can do about it. Are you going to get found in the social spaces? Or do you need to pay to play? Pay the devil. So, there he is, on the top of the mountain, thinking, Joe's School for Intrepid Marketers. It's got legs, right? No?
I shouldn't know that.
What marketers really need to do is to learn to climb Kilimanjaro, but starting from the left, and that, not the right, because in that way, all of the results will go up and to the right. And this was a moment ago. It was a moment of inspiration, but then he thought, how are we going to get found by the right people looking for what we do today? All of this change, it seems to, I've heard that it's impacting search as well. So, am I going to need a new SEO strategy again? Well, one could be forgiven for feeling exhausted at the very thought. Certainly, I hope you're not yet. Anyway. So enough of Joe's travels. He came back and he thought, right, well, I'm going to do some research. I seem to remember back in something like 2011, all my bloody keywords stopped working. I couldn't tell which keywords were bringing what results to my site. It's a bloody nuisance. It's worse than my phone dropping on the floor in the middle of a presentation. So Google begins encrypting search results. And all the marketers in the world said. And then we started with the animals. And the penguin arrived. And actually, quite rightly, in my opinion, started penalizing spam factors. I mean, everybody was learning to game Google, and it was becoming a problem. And basically, you could search for something, and what you'd end up getting was CRAP. And it wasn't what you were looking for. So, penguin was a welcome, fluffy creature. Hummingbird in 2003, ladies and gentlemen, was far more significant. And hummingbird's still really significant today. And essentially, sorry for everybody who knows this already, but bear with me. It's started the process of Google being able to understand semantics, being able to understand the context of your search, not just the metadata behind your search. That's a big change. Also, a welcome one. And then 2014, security and SSL came along, and sites that started using that got a boost, and pigeon updates also affected some local searches. And then, I don't know if anybody saw this, but this, in 2015, they released a mobile update that some people called Mobilegeddon, which is kind of crazy. But people thought, I think, that a lot of sites are going to get marked down a lot if they weren't responsive, and there's certainly some evidence of that. I'm not sure the results were as traumatic as Mobilegeddon, but certainly that started to impact results. And then, dun, 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 along came RankBrain. And RankBrain, when added to Hummingbird, really changed what happens today. Because it's really about machine learning. So, there's quite a lot that's gone on. And Joe thought, oh, bloody hell, I seem to recall. When I had to search before, I wasn't born. That's right, there was something called print and yellow pages. People went to the library and they read newspapers and magazines. This is Joe's great uncle, Norbert, who was a great proponent. Used to keep his door open with yellow pages. It was that heavy. And then web. This is another of Joe's. It's Joe's old boss, Mark, actually. We like to depict him this way. Quite rightly, he's searching on the web. He's using Google or Bing, or he's using the social search to try and find answers to his questions. Perfectly reasonable, you think. And then along came Joe's best mate, Jake. Joe's best mate, Jake, worked out how to search with voice. And therein lies a dilemma for anybody looking to get found by people looking for what they do today using search. Finally, we got there, SEO. So, Alexa, Siri, Cortana, Google Assistant, these are all impacting the way search results are delivered today. So at this point, I'm really sorry to say, I'm going to blow up these characters because I'm going to have them labeled enough for those. We pixelated them. There we go. So, I want you to imagine yourselves walking down Trumpington Street with me. It's a few years ago, and I say, I'm just going to do a quick search. Let's search for a good restaurant near me. I think you would be forgiven for having this kind of reaction, had I done that. So let's take a quick look at that. Won't keep you too long, but in 2008, the best you could probably do was restaurant, 5-star, on Yelp, Cambridge, Trumpington Street. You might end up with something. By 2012, you could probably get away with good lunch restaurant, Trumpington Street, CB2. You'd get some results. By last year, you could make that search. And we'll talk about how you could make that search, a good restaurant near me, and why that would work. And in the not-too-distant future, I reckon you'll be able to order your favourite dish that you want to pick up at 7 o'clock this evening. Done. That's it. Put that in. It'll be there waiting for you. Or delivered. Why? How? So, talking about where we are today, search now recognises localization, the format of the query, as well as contextual cues. However, this search that I did on my desktop delivers different results to the ones that I do on my mobile phone, because search today also recognizes the time of day and the device type. You add to that the fact that now we've got image sections in search, we've got knowledge graphs in search, and we've got featured snippets, and so it goes on. In fact, with voice and Panda and Penguin and the time of day, and the device types, and. You simply cannot rely on getting the same results every time. In fact, in the same way as you weren't able to tell anymore which keywords were bringing traffic back to your site, you're not going to be able to tell how you rank in the search engines for the results you want to bring about. You won't be able to rely on that. So even if it says in SEMrush, or in HubSpot, or in Moz, that you rank here, well, that depends. It's simply not true anymore. So we need a new way of looking at how we get found, or especially Joe would love to know how to get found, because he's got a marketing school to deliver by next week. So, this was Joe at the foot of Kilimanjaro, setting off. I was there. I was in the bushes. It sounds wrong, I know. But I caught him, and you can't tell me it's not Joe, so I'm sticking with that. And he came back, and I said, well, Joe, it's actually, there is an answer. And it's about something called pillar pages and something else called topic clusters. Please don't fall asleep at this point. It's not per se new, but the way in which you go about it, and if you're scientific in the application of it, it's proven to work. So let's just talk a little bit about what the hell I mean by that. So I want you to imagine, if you will, that this thing in the middle is a significant piece of content, several thousand words long, much bigger than a blog post. Imagine if you'd taken something like an ebook or more and published it online, and you're in the realm of what I'm talking about here. And now I want you to imagine that you know that there's a significant amount of search around the term for that pillar page, so-called. You don't know how you're going to rank for it, but you know, because you've got the tools, so how much search there is. And then imagine what the subtopics or topic clusters could be that relate to that central pillar page. And then imagine what would happen if you were to interlink between those topic clusters and that pillar page. So let's take HubSpot as an example. So HubSpot did this. Anybody not heard of HubSpot here? Oh, I thought it was HubSpot. You can hack the slides if you like. It's much easier. Oh, I like your thinking. So HubSpot, in this particular instance, if you were familiar with their blog, they had a blog about sales, they had a blog about marketing, and they had a blog for agencies. And they had lots of different blogs, and they threw them out there, and they had categories or topics for those blogs, but it was all one blog, and it was dressed up as something else. But this is what it looked like to the search engines, which isn't great, for anyone who's wondering. So it was very difficult for search engines to crawl through pages quickly. Certainly in the way that search engines now work, understanding the correlation, or if you like, the semantic connection between the different subject matter, or the context of someone's search and how to relate that back, was being, at best, slowed down. So they reorganized that content into pillar pages, which then had these topic clusters around them that interlinked between the pillar page and the topic clusters, most typically blog posts. And as a consequence, we're able to indicate to the search engines a much more ordered way of reviewing that content and understanding the relation between the different pieces of content all around the pillar page. Another way of thinking about pillar pages, some of you have probably heard of Ram Fishkin, who's just left Moz, just launching a new book, Lost and Founder, which sounds like it's going to be a good one. Anyway, he came up with an idea that he called 10x pages some time ago. And he said, imagine a page on the web that was 10 times better than any page on that subject matter. Easier said than done, but you're in the right space if you're thinking about that. Now, if you're thinking about pillar pages, these need to really relate to your core activity. These need to really relate to your business, because they ideally need to be in your top nav or as close to it as possible to be as impactful as they can be. And then imagine, well, you've got a whole business built around this stuff. Then it becomes less of a mountain to climb to imagine what putting together a pillar page might be. And it seems, or it could appear to be something that maybe makes a bit more sense. So if we can do this, and if I were to do this, and I was thinking, right, Equinet. So in a world of, and I was to imagine a world of topics over keywords, then what might that look like? So I can either treat each keyword as a separate entity, as indeed we did. We thought of blog posts, and we had very good rationale for coming up with those blog posts, and we published those blog posts. But we weren't thinking them in the context of a cluster, of a group of posts together. So by having a page around inbound marketing, and then rather than just having a blog that's talking about inbound marketing techniques, inbound marketing versus outbound, etc., if I cluster those around, that is to say, publish the pillar page, and then publish or find within the posts I already have, those that have got good visits, continue to get visits, and interlink between that main page and these other posts, you're on the right track. So if I was Joe, I'd be thinking along the lines of, well, digital marketing courses. Obviously, at the foot of Kilimanjaro, on the left-hand side, naturally. But with keywords where I knew there was search, like digital marketing, marketing definition, marketing objective, content marketing, marketing training. And by interlinking with that pillar page, I'm going to be ranking better, helping the search engines understand the context of my content so much better, as well as humans, my word, them as well. So if we were talking about content marketing, just because I felt it was worth touching on, and nearly finished, all of you, open, keep the eyes open a little while longer. So it's not just about including the keyword in every term. It's about the context, it's about the semantic relation to the central topic. So brainstorming techniques, blogging mistakes, buyer personas, writing skills, buyer's journey, gated content, all in and around content marketing, right? These are all highly related to the central theme. So, rather than go through this whole list, I'm just going to summarize, because I want some of you to be able to actually get home tonight. So, when you're looking at what to do about this, you need to think about a central topic. And it needs to, as I mentioned before, to be central to your business. You need to establish the SEO value of that central theme. So you need to prove the case. You still need the tools to ascertain that there is search in and around this area. And you could ask yourself the question, do I already have this page? Because some of you probably do. And you need to start thinking about all of the subtopics that you're going to bring in and around that pillar page. And then you need to start researching the topic. So if you have internally a subject, which you will do, a subject matter expert, then you want to start picking apart. If you like, you could almost think in terms of chapters. So if there were a page that was the most significant page on the web about this area, what would all the chapters be? What would the content be? And you would want to pull ideas together using high-ranking content that you already have. So posts that can interlink with your pillar page. And if you're starting from scratch, you'll need to be thinking about how you write those. So you'll be needing to think about keywords in the context of those subject areas where you know the search, to a certain extent, where you know the difficulty of ranking for that, but that's going to get eroded as well. So actually, this becomes incredibly important as a process for getting found today, because the ways in which we have been doing it aren't going to work as well anymore. So doing a content audit on what you've already got. Do we have an ebook that actually we could republish as a pillar page? We could offer up the ebook on the pillar page. We'd have our pillar page, and good gracious, we've already got 12 blog posts that we could interlink in this way, and we could write another 12. And we'd have a pillar page with topic clusters around them, and we can start measuring the output, the outcomes from that. So, the key is to start thinking in terms of topics you want to own, not just keywords. This allows you to own a sphere of influence on the web. And Joe was so happy with this that he's pleased to announce he's launching yojo.com this evening for one night only. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions? Wow. Okay. The man in the nice suit. That looks expensive, sir.
Pillar page. Is that only a pillar page as far as Google is concerned? Because it's got all of these subtopic pages linking to it, and then Google therefore notices that must be a pretty important page. Or is there something that happens in the coding or the site menu or whatever that instantly says, here is a pillar page? I'll just
Google says pillar schmiller. Poof. Take your pillar nonsense and shove it. So it doesn't, it's a term to explain a concept rather than a thing. So a page on the web that's got more content on it, if it's original content and it's, I don't want to call it well optimized because that sounds like we're gaming Google again, but if it's truly useful, if it's got internal links, lots of them, and it's got external links out to other great content, and it's covering the subject area really well, then Google will start noticing it. One way in which you can do this, by the way, is you could go and you could use a tool like Moz or SEMrush or something like that, and you could go and analyze using that tool the top 10 pages that are found in the search results, and you could extract the semantic keywords that are repeated across all of those pages. And if you were to then develop a page that were using those terms and that made sense, right? It wasn't just for the search engines, you would be stealing a march. You would be on your way to creating a pillar page where there's evidence that you're going to fare well with the search engines. I'm not certain I answered your question, but there is no clever code underneath it. It's about the content, and it's about the links. Hi.
Does a pillar page work better if it's in a blog form, or if it's just a page?
I would say, that's not to say it can't do, but I would say a pillar page is better off not being a blog page, but most of the content that you're linking back to the pillar page will be blogs, right? So and one of the reasons I say that is, as I mentioned earlier, then you're really, if you're going to go down this route, then you should have your pages in the top nav, ideally, That's where they're going to get the most attention. Or certainly immediately coming off on a spry menu or something from the top navigation. Hi.
Is this why Wikipedia often ranks so well for snippets, because it's got that hub cluster structure to the way it interlinks content and concepts?
Not really, but only because of this. Because it ranks so well because of backlinks. That's why Wikipedia ranks so well.
In that case, are there any good examples? You mentioned HubSpot. Are there any other exemplars that you can think of to say, like, here are some shining examples of this kind of structure in action?
I could go, well, here's some Equinet. But I won't. But yeah, you could go to jjsmanufacturing.com. And you could look at find the pillar page. I mean, I would do it, but I don't think we have time. So look, you will start to notice this is happening, and it's happening for good reasons. So, but to answer your question about Wikipedia, no, it's because of the backlinks. Any more questions?
Last one.
Can we brute force that in terms of affiliate?
Could you repeat that, please?
Can we brute force the pillar pages, not pillar pages, but the surrounding clusters in terms of affiliate marketing? So I'm more interested in affiliate marketing, about from SEO is great. But
can I think of a way in which you could leverage pillar pages with affiliate marketing? Speak to me afterwards. Thank you very much, and have a lovely evening.